Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our sermon this morning is our gospel lesson, which you heard read previously in our service from Mark chapter 4. Dearly loved by God in Christ, the Church Father St. Augustine once observed that the spiritual world often mirrors the visible world. With that same shared insight, our Lord Jesus often taught his lessons in parables. These back-to-back parables before us this morning are lessons that Jesus teaches about church growth in the proper understanding. And we'll see that the spiritual truths of this church growth mirror the secret and significant growth that comes from the seed. A false premise is lurking around visible Christianity today that church growth comes and is accomplished via human dynamics or people power. In a sense, we would have to say that that's true. But it's not the sense that Jesus is using when he is referring to church growth in these parables. Jesus isn't talking about the numerical growth of some visible organization. He's not talking about a congregation or a synod or a denomination or a church body. Jesus rather is talking about the growth of his spiritual body, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. And the power for the growth in that church is not by human power or people power in any sense. Rather, that church growth comes only by the power of the gospel, just as the power for life and growth lies in the seed. These two parables hold particular affection for me. They are the parables upon which I wrote my very first sermon at the seminary. This isn't that sermon, but Jesus' point remains the same. And for our theme on the Lord's words, we'll repeat the question that he asked. What then, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Well, first, it's like the seed that grows secretly. And secondly, it is like the small seed that grows into a large plant. There is a clear distinction and difference between these two parables. The first one talks about the hidden inner growth of the seed as it sprouts and produces a stalk and then a head and then fruit. We might call that secret growth. And then the second parable talks more about the comparison of size, the relative size from a small seed that grows into a large plant. Jesus, in his parable, uses the example of the mustard seed. The kingdom of God that our Savior is talking about here is not, as I said, some visible organization. It's not a place that has visible boundaries. The kingdom of God is Jesus' rule over the hearts of believers by the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. And that gospel grows, sprouts and grows faith by its own power in the heart. When you and I pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Your kingdom come." And when we do that, we are praying for that hidden, that secret growth that comes in the gospel. We're asking God the Holy Spirit to bless that word and sprout faith in the heart of those who do not yet believe. And we also ask the Holy Spirit to grow and increase and strengthen and preserve the faith of us who already believe. And our Father answers that prayer of the Holy Spirit through the gospel in word and sacrament. That achieves real church growth as it grows and strengthens people in their faith in Christ. Now, this creating faith and this preserving faith is something that we cannot observe or see. And there it mirrors the farmer who sows his seed. And Jesus says, what does he do then? He lies down, goes to sleep. He gets up, goes about his daily activity. And all the time the seed is doing its work to sprout, to make a head, produce the fruits of grain. But all the time while this is going on, the farmer cannot see it taking place within the seed itself. When you and I, as farmers and sowers, share that gospel of Jesus Christ with others, we cannot see its working in the heart. We can't see the work that the Holy Spirit is doing to create faith where there is unbelief. We don't see that take place when a baby's baptized. Do we see the Holy Spirit strengthening faith when we and others come up to and receive the true body and blood of Christ with the bread and the wine given for the forgiveness of our sins and then return to our seats? No, we don't see that taking place because that growth is hidden. That growth is secret. But we know that it is taking place because God says so. And so Jesus says, in answer to our question, what is the kingdom of God like? It is like the kingdom of God growing secretly like that seed. This parable explains one of the differences between Lutherans and other Christians. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, come into the flesh. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from every sin. That gospel message is like the seed that has its life and its growth in itself. The gospel of Christ is not mere information that we must share so that people can grasp it with their reason and then decide whether or not they're going to believe it. Nor is the gospel the collective decision of men's human thinking or counsels. It is not that collective will, they say, of the church, the visible church, a visible church, that a person must follow and believe in order to be saved. No, the gospel is that powerful, life-creating proclamation of Jesus as our Savior that sprouts and grows and bears fruits, even as we cannot observe it. Jesus follows this parable with one about a different aspect of the kingdom of God's growth. What is the kingdom of God like? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. The kingdom of God, the church, started with just two people in the Garden of Eden. Two people who believed God's promise that they heard him speak to Satan. We heard that last week, remember? God said to the devil that the seed of the woman, the Savior, would come and crush your head. That is, destroy your power. But you would bruise his heel. And by that, God meant that Satan would make Jesus suffer, and Jesus would suffer and die on the cross. But from that small seed, from that church existing only in the Garden of Eden, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the spiritual body of Christ, all believers in Jesus, have grown so that now they are a universal church spreading across the face of the globe. Christ's church knows no boundary of geography, of nationality, of race, or of language. After Pentecost, believers took that good news across the world. Not too long after Pentecost, the gospel spread all the way from Palestine to China. There were believers living all across the northern coast of Africa. Finally, Europeans and even in the Americas, people like the Ninevites in Iraq, heard other Jonas, as we heard in our first lesson today, call them to repentance, heard of God's mercy and grace for those who are humble before the Lord and trust in His promises. Jesus' parable, the mustard seed, continues as you and I take that gospel out and sow it around the world. With this parable, Jesus was assuring His disciples that their labor when He left them would not be in vain. Jesus was assuring His church, those believers, that the great commission that He was going to give them right before His ascension was not only possible, was not only laudable, but would also be powerful and real. We continue in that great commission. We continue in that promise of God as the church continues to grow from how it existed in the very beginning. Now, the church may not be as large as some other heathen religions in certain places. The mustard tree may not be as large as a cedar of Lebanon. But what Jesus is saying is that the church will not fail, that the church will not die out, that the church will continue from that small seed of Christ, that small seed of the gospel, that small seed of Adam and Eve and the remnant in Israel will continue to grow. And today, even the Holy Spirit continues to add to the church daily those who are being saved. Jesus, of course, knew His Old Testament. And here He is paraphrasing or quoting the idea that the prophet Ezekiel spoke for the Lord to the small remnant of believers in captivity and exile in Babylon. The Lord says through Ezekiel, "I myself will take a shoot from the top of a cedar, and I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit, and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches." From that small remnant church, the New Testament church, until the end of time, continues to grow large. I mentioned before the Lord's Prayer. Martin Luther said that we should pray the Lord's Prayer every day. And of course, that means that every day we would pray, "Your kingdom come." That's a good prayer, even though God's kingdom will come even without our asking. But by our asking, by our praying that petition, we acknowledge to our God that we will not be hesitant, we will not be lazy in our sowing the seed. And at the same time, we recognize that the inner growth of the heart and the growth of the body of Christ in this unbelieving world will continue to grow and grow strong by the power of that gospel itself. It will sprout and grow the kingdom, just as Jesus promised. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll now gather our offering, and during the offering, we'll view our Wells connection.